It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have with me as my guest today, Lily Wu. And Lily was a guest, maybe about 4 months ago, something like that. She's an acupuncturist. But before we get started with the show, I want to make sure that everyone understands where to find the older shows. At the moment, they're on synergyconnectionradio.com. And if you go into that website, there are 100 shows, a little bit more than that now, actually, that are up there that we archive, so that you could go back and find Lily's show or anybody else's show that you might find interesting. And there is a synopsis with each show that tells you what that show was about, and you'll be able to decide if you want to spend an hour listening to a particular show. So there's a lot of very cool guests that I've had over the last few years. On my website, there is also a link into Boomers Forever Young. And in our COVID world today, and as this show is being recorded, I guess the numbers have increased again, unfortunately, and there's a lot of parts of the United States that are on lockdown. I talked to my son out in Colorado, and you know, Denver is having a lot of new cases that are surging. So as we move into the winter months and after the first of the year, we just don't know what to expect with COVID-19 or the flu or anything else that might show up. So I encourage people to go into Boomers Forever Young and look around, because it is a company that produces world-class products. I use them myself. And one of the most important products is something called Gladiator Barley. And Gladiator Barley is a powder. It is gluten-free, and it is something that takes inflammation out of the body and improves muscle tone and provides stamina and strength. And as most people realize, if we're going to combat some of these illnesses that are out there as viruses, we need to be in tip-top shape. We need to have our inflammation level as low as possible, under the number one if you're getting a C-reactive protein test. And you need to have your immune system at least a 70 on a blood panel. So those two things are terribly important. Boomers Forever Young can help you get there. And if you go into the website and you see something that you want to try and open an account, if you use my first name, Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, you'll receive $5 off. So having said that, again, welcome back to the show, Lily. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You're an acupuncture physician and an energy healer facilitator. So how would you like to describe at least the energy healer facilitator part of that?
Acupuncture is a energy work. It's just that the energy work using a needle versus non-needle or acupressure. So it's just the type of modality that we use in energy work. So energy work facilitator is, well, I'm accessing energy like acupuncture, but facilitator, I'm one who assists my patient to allow them or to be open to feel to different type of modality to feel better. So we are not the one who heals an individual. Individual heals from within. So that's why I call myself a healing facilitator.
Okay, so the person, you know, as they come to you, maybe with headaches, migraines, body stress, neck issues, shoulder issues, lower back issues, you know, they would be coming in to have you help facilitate their healing.
Exactly. Well, diagnosis-wise, we'll, you know, ask them, how did it come about? Mm-hmm. You know, like, where did, like, in Chinese medicine, we always want to focus on the root cause of things versus just their symptoms. Symptoms sometimes is just, the symptoms are typically masking the root cause of how it all happened. And if we're treating just the surface of it, it can return quickly without really finding out what's going on.
Right. You and I talked before the show actually started being recorded about you know, the tension that is in the world today. You know, it started with COVID-19, but then people lost their jobs. A lot of people have died. A lot of people are getting symptoms from the disease. But, you know, maybe they have an accident at home in a car, you know, at work. But the accident might actually be a direct result of what's going on in their thought pattern. You know, if they're very stressed and they're preoccupied, they might not see the very thing that's going to cause the accident. So now they have the accident and they go to you and you say, okay, let's look at where these symptoms began. What you're saying is that they may tell you the accident happened a month ago. And right. So I began to have back issues, neck issues, something like that. But as you talk to them, mm-hmm. you discover that no, you know, a lot of the symptoms were kind of there before that. They've just been exacerbated. They've been complicated because of the accident.
Well, how should I put this? Our emotion, it's very closely related to our physiology. In Chinese medicine, we have the five organs, you know, the heart, the liver, the kidney, the spleen, and, you know, there's other ones like gallbladder. Then these all controls our emotions or related to our emotions. And when we're stressed, it kind of created problems relating to these organs and the body parts that they control and the emotions that they control. And somebody who is anxious, you know, they might not, like you said, might not be mindful of what's going on, and therefore causing symptoms afterward. And their root cause might be like they're really, you know, bothered by their stress or by what's going on around them.
So it could be job-related stress, it could be family stress, it could be financial.
Right, health as well.
Right. And so if they, I mean, I am familiar, as you are, with, you know, friends who have a lot of stress in their life that doesn't belong to them, but they've made it their stress because it's maybe a friend that they're worried about, a family member. And so they might have an accident, you know, at work, out on the highway, wherever, and they might actually have that situation occur and not even draw the dots, you know, from I've been worrying about my son, my daughter, my husband, my best friend for months and months and months, and oops, I have an accident and now I've got this pain.
Right. That is the hardest part when it comes to someone who's close to you, mm-hmm. like especially our friends, our family. We tend to worry for other people, and these are things that we cannot control. You know, there's a famous lady who says that there are only three things in life. There's one that is controlled by God, and one that's your business, and then one that's somebody else's business.
Uh-huh.
When it's somebody else's business, obviously you have no business in it because you can't change anything. And if it's God's business or the universe or, you know, the higher power, and obviously we don't control them either.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
So to being able to, you know, center yourself, focus on what you need to help yourself. Like I always tell my patients and my friends, actually, if you can't be, you know, grounded yourself, you can't be clear yourself, you can't help other people. By worrying for them does not help them or relieve them of in any ways.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because my mom does it all the time.
She worries all the time?
She worries about everything.
Yeah, and how do you see it affecting her because she worries?
Well, in Chinese medicine, you know, when, and I think maybe some other energy practitioners also mentioned that when we have a lack of support, where we felt lack of support, we actually generate lower back pain because our spine is like, you know, it's what's holding us all together.
Mm-hmm.
So physically, it can manifest something in whether it's like a channel blockage, like a stagnation in the Chinese medicine when we use acupuncture to help to soothe the stagnation, or energetically, you know, from stress, you know, like how a lot of people feel really stressed and that they have tight shoulders and tight neck and then feel like and their shoulder is like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all from the tension that's been held. Obviously, these are very physical. Like somebody who's nervous, their stomach to start to turn, you know, or have like, you know, uncontrollable like bathroom issue where they had to run, you know, that and test anxiety when we're in school.
Right.
That kind of scenario. So headache, you know, high blood pressure is also increased when somebody's really stressed as well. So physically and emotionally has a really close tie into our physical health. We might not look into it or only think of it when it starts to snowball and become a bigger problem and something that we had to deal with on a probably a chronic basis.
So if it's a family member for you, since you're an acupuncturist and an energy facilitator, I mean, do they come to you and say, okay, I've got this issue, tell me how I can, you know, feel better?
Yeah, sometimes, but then their demand is usually unreasonable. Like my mom, for example, she will come to me for lower back pain, and I will treat her for lower back pain with either acupuncture or energy work, and then she'll be like, well, I would need a other type of treatment. When I first did acupuncture, she wanted massage, right? I was like, I'm not a masseuse. So I went to explore on energy work because like she obviously didn't want a needle back then, but now she wanted a needle. I'm doing energy work. And she's like, oh, I need that. I need to feel that physical, you know, that contact to feel the difference. So for her, I do both. I do everything that I can, like whatever tools I have, especially what she believes in. When she believes in needle, I give her a needle. When she doesn't believe in needle, you know, I regulate her from a distance or like secretly, you know, like asking for permission, obviously. I don't just like, okay, I'm going to treat her. Everybody needs to be open to receive, and they are their own healer. When they're like happy and joyful, even if they have a little pain, they're not going to focus on, oh, I have this pain and it's not going to go away. Because for her, I would treat her lower back and she would have shoulder pain without mentioning what happened to her lower back. Mm. And then I treat her neck and shoulder and she'd be like, oh, I have elbow pain. So she doesn't really answer the part like, oh, how's your lower back? So she's kind of funny. When she felt better, she just doesn't mention that part anymore. But okay. She tell you other parts.
Do you think that she's shifting? I mean, I would almost see, because of the way energy works, that it just moves, you know, from the shoulder to the elbow to maybe the hand to the knee. And so you've moved it, but it's not, you know, completely well.
It's possible a moving if they're in the same channel or they're in the relating channel. Mm-hmm. Like you help the stagnation, like you move the traffic from one side, but then the traffic ended up on the other side. But it's definitely not the same traffic. Mm-hmm. What she's noticing is she's not saying something got better, but the area already improved. So she can only feel what's the next, like more prominent feeling that she have in pain. Then she could she doesn't mention the lower back anymore because she feel more like the secondary will come up. You know, like anybody, like a lot of time people who have sciatica, they might even have pain on both sides, but since one side is more prevalent, when they feel better on, say, for example, the right side, it was just their main complaint that they felt their left side hurts. So a lot of time, you know, like they could have, like you just said, they said, oh, doctor, or to the acupuncturist, my pain shift, you know, to the other side? Or, you know, actually it was because it was always there. One side is more severe than the other.
Right, and you'll feel it.
Right, you'll feel the severe one first. And once the severe one is more relief, then you'll feel the secondary and the third and the fourth. So it's in her situation, that's most likely what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, you're sure have a main complaint, but then there's other complaints when she start to feel better, or anybody start to feel better, then they were noticed somewhere else.
You know, I've even heard that with people that get like a hip replacement or a knee replacement, that, you know, they refer to people who have, for instance, had a knee replaced and then years later they have a hip replacement, that there has to be an alignment.
Right.
Between the two, otherwise you're going to feel it in another place.
Right.
And I'm not sure the alignments always work, but I know that that's what they talk about, is
right,
that they have to have that kind of an alignment.
See, I'm not a chiropractor, so I can't really get into that, but on an anatomical perspective. You know, think of your body has fascia and membranes that is interconnected, you know, like a whole sheets of a stocking. Mm-hmm. So once I get pulls, you know, the rest of the structure will be affected as well. Right. You know, no matter how minor it is, you know, one hole can become a big hole, right, or the whole thing could be stretched and to the extent that it looks, you know, off.
Right, right. I think it would be a good thing for you to share maybe the different areas that you do cover, because acupuncture is different than acupressure, and that's different than other things that you do. So why don't you maybe describe each one of the areas, so if somebody was coming to see you, mm-hmm, they have options.
Okay, great. Well, acupuncture, obviously, because I'm an acupuncture physician, and I love acupuncture ever since 2008. That's when I got into it, when I had my personal injury, and it worked, and I was so not shocked, because then I always we grew up with the culture. We obviously never had needles when I was little, and when I experienced it, it was like, why didn't I have exposed to this any earlier? Because we always have herbal instead. So acupuncture deal with the channels, 365 points or 60 points from the really original text from 2000 years ago, and now expand to scalp acupuncture, to abdominal acupuncture, to a regular ear acupuncture, and, you know, body puncture, extra points acupuncture. So it has grown tremendously in how, what it can treat. And back then, obviously, there's no Western terms, right, and now we can link them together with Western term. So acupuncture is one. Acupressure is just applying pressure, whether it's light or heavy, and depends on what the patient needs, on the acupuncture points. So if somebody who's really afraid of acupuncture and really want to give acupuncture a try, because acupuncture is a theory, it's not just the act of acupuncture is using the needle, but without using a needle, we still have that energy going. So third, without even having anything that is heavy pressure, meaning not acupressure, is the energy work. Uh-huh. So there are several types that I do, and one of them is called access bars, where we are having very light touch on the top of the head, where it's these are energy points that we unlock, energy in the body that is holding our limiting belief, or releasing any certain beliefs that we have regarding regarding anything, actually. But in terms of health, obviously we use it to help with our physical body, you know, like things to do with aging, like, you know, what aging is, as well as our physical body, if we can think it could heal itself or not. Mm-hmm. And our body, in fact, can heal itself. You know, energy is everywhere. We breathe in and out every day, and we don't request for it. We get it regardless.
Well, and it's like, you know, your heart beats without you telling it to, right, your food digests without you, right, you know, hopefully orchestrating too much.
Yes, but when we do communicate with our body, it actually enhances that, because mm-hmm, we have that intention, you know, we're working with it, we're being mindful, we are aware of what is happening, and we are working with our body, mm-hmm, instead of just commanding it to do, you know, what it does loyally every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the access bars that you're talking about would be maybe for somebody, how would they decide they wanted that if they didn't even know that it existed?
Somebody who really wanted change. Like I had it with my life. I need some change. That's how the founders started, actually. One of the founders, mm-hmm, like, he was about to kill himself if nothing changed. The next day he found Access Consciousness, which is the founders of Access Bar, as one of the tools, and his whole life changed since that time. Obviously nobody changed overnight from if you're gonna put it, say poor to rich, but then you start having that opportunity, that awareness and openness to have something different,
okay,
and a willingness to accept it.
Okay, so a little bit along the lines of law of attraction then, that if you expect something to be different, mm-hmm, as opposed to my life is always going to be this way kind of thinking.
Right. So Access Bar is kind of helping, like opening the door for you to really
maybe
open
a couple
to
windows
something.
Too.
A couple windows. Yes, and for pets too. Okay, pet doors.
Right.
So to open up that new things that you're willing to accept now, because then you absolutely cannot live your old way. So this is time for something new. Like right now with COVID, there's so many people want to change. There's so many people wanted something to change, something to be different, you know, from politics to health to, you know, to wealth and all that. And when we're stuck in one area, then, you know, the stuff, if you're not willing to try anything new, obviously nothing is going to change.
Right, right. And I'm just kind of thinking, I mean, using our COVID-19 situation, people are waiting for a vaccine. And the vaccine, you know, is going to come out. Yeah, there was talk that it would be, you know, right around now with election. Well, that's not going to happen. It's probably not going to be out until January, February. And I had a person that was here for the last show that is he has his doctorate in clinical pharmacology. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we talked about the fact that this vaccine it doesn't even exist yet, and it doesn't have any standardization that's going to really happen for 6 months to a year, because you have to wait until people take it to see what the side effects may or may not be, so that there's efficacy of okay, this is a usable treatment for COVID-19. And we also know that COVID-19 has morphed. You know, there has been changes in it since it was first identified. It was making mutations, you know, even back then. So for people truly to just sit back and say, well, as soon as the vaccine is available, I'll roll up my sleeve and get a vaccine and I'll be protected, is kind of foolish thinking, isn't it? In a way, I mean, don't they have to take accountability for staying healthy, doing the things that are going to make them less maybe susceptible to this condition, this virus, you know, along with other things?
Well, we are definitely responsible for our own health and our own body, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can look into supplements and doing exercises and keep up with our health through these modalities, but then just depending on a vaccine, hoping that it will, in law of attraction, if you truly believe that it will, and you know, it could help to an extent, but keeping healthy, you know, doing your exercise, getting enough fluids, getting
sleep.
Obviously, you
reducing
know,
reducing your overall stress, learning how to breathe,
defecations, meditations, yeah. Yoga, things that you know that you can do to help your body is a little bit more practical, because mm-hmm. you are with yourself 24/7.
Right.
Vaccine, whether it works or not, nobody knows. It could work for everybody, it might not work for some people. So just it depends on, you know, anything.
I've heard the number that it's going to be just like any other vaccine that's out there. Mm-hmm. It works in about 51% of the cases. So 49% right. of the people that will take it, you know, if you had, you're not going to have 100% of the population take it, but if you had 50% of the population take it, and then it only worked 50% of the time, you know, that's a fairly small number of people that is going, you know, are going to be maybe prevented from coming down with it. And vaccines typically are given to healthier people, you know, so that's another little bit of a side issue.
Well, there's a lot of controversy actually between the vaccines, so it's really hard to say. And then there are people who might not, you know, tolerate the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like stronger people, they could probably fight it off, you know, like as if they gotten the sickness, the virus themselves. And with the vaccine, same thing, you go through the same process, not just for COVID, but with flu shots as well.
Right.
You know, like some people got sick from it, and some people claim, like, could have swore that they got better from it. So there's going to be, you know, everybody on the different spectrums and how they're going to react. Even with acupuncture, you know, everybody reacts differently. Some people who are very intense, like tense, and they have a lot of stress, probably even very defensive, mm-hmm. when they come and get needles, they're going to jump, and then they're going to probably prefer acupressure or energy work more than acupuncture, because mm-hmm. then your body is already very in a very defensive mode. So everybody reacts differently. And there are people who, once they get acupuncture, they sleep like a, you know, soundly and fairly relaxed right afterward. So it's very subjective.
Do you let people sleep for a while there after they have a treatment?
If they request that, like say if a patient say, hey, I have friends who had acupuncture and they felt really relaxed. Obviously, they're not the type that's going to work through their issues. They want to, you know, take it slowly, and they want to be able to relax while they get the treatment and while they progress, which, you know, that's the best way for them, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I try to not cater, but then I try to do what's the best for the patient and what they can tolerate and what they can accept, which is the best way for them.
Right. And like you said, everybody is going to experience, you know, these treatments a little bit differently.
Definitely,
so,
yeah.
I'm sure openness to a particular modality is a part of it.
It's definitely the key.
Right. So, all right, so let's kind of pretend like we have patient X that mm-hmm. calls you up, and, you know, they say, okay, I've got a lot of stress in my life. I'm experiencing a lot of muscle tightness, low back issues. I'm having frequent headaches. I really need to change my life, and I'm open to
anything.
Know, seeing you.
Right.
All right. So now they come in to be assessed, right? And so walk us through, you know, what is the typical mm-hmm. assessment that you're going to do, and how do you determine which one of the treatment modalities are best for that person?
Well, Chinese medicine and acupuncture has been around for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something people understand a little bit more nowadays versus back then when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come in, they probably give me a list of their symptoms, when it started, how bad it is, from probably 1 to 10, and 10's the worst. You know, usually we ask the number, and most people don't give us the number unless they went to somebody else already, and they'll be like, oh, I have a 10. No.
Right.
They will come in and then kind of assess how bad it is. And when I collect these information, that's one way for me to know how often do I work with a patient to
and
see.
And what's the typical? Once a week? Twice a week?
Typical will... depends on their severity.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something that doesn't really bother them, like four or five out of the 10, probably initially will be twice a week, and then it probably could be gradually cut down real fast, like once a week. And if they come in like a 9 and a 10, you know, ideally will be 3 times a week until, you know, they felt 70-80% better, then it reduced to 2 to 1 to once a month, or maintenance if it's like a chronic issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on how receptive they are and how willing are they to work with their own body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some people could have chronic issue, but they went back to their old ways. You know, like I tell my mom, like, you know, my mom's the victim again here. I tell my mom, you go see a doctor once, like an acupuncturist or some kind of therapist, you know, once a week, but then you are damaging by sitting in the wrong posture on a daily basis. Like, how fast can they fix that? They're not God or magicians.
Right, right. And a lot of people are in front of computer screens all day long. So I'm sure, you know, their posture is being impacted. Most of them don't have the ergonomic chairs, you know, that kind of help align the spine and everything.
Right.
So what do they do?
Well, I would say, no, be easy. Like, be lazy. Be easy on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to sit in one position for a very long time, like, what is the best level of your machine, you know, your computer, your laptop? Like, how high and low is your chair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how comfortable are you in that position? If you have to adjust, you know, same thing when we're treating patients. If I feel uncomfortable, obviously that is the wrong position for me to treat that patient.
Right, because you're going to be doing it over and over again.
Right, and the same thing with anything that you do repetitively, you know, like if you have to, you know, grab something, you know, give yourself some support. Maybe you need a stool. you know, like, or if your arms and the is higher or lower than where it should, it's going to cause your neck and shoulder issue, and eventually your neck, because this all posture is all related, mm-hmm. the entire spine.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you find out on that scale of 1 to 10,
right.
kind of where they are. You've narrowed it down to, you know, it's probably definitely stress related.
Mm-hmm.
You probably do look at, you know, just the physiology of their daily lives. Are they lifting heavy things? Do they walk a lot? Are they, I don't know, sitting in the right kind of chair? Do you ever check, like, have them tell you about their mattresses? Because you're supposed to change your mattress. I think it's every 7 years. A lot of people don't change it for 20. So.
Right. Well, some claim that they can, you know, work a lifetime, right? So, no, I don't really go into that kind of detail. But then it's like, you know, a lot of time, just if I could see them when they walk in, like, this is how Chinese doctors do their assessments. When somebody walk in, you see their posture by from how they walk,
mm-hmm.
and then there's how they talk. Like, if they are feeble or they're really loud, then
right.
you know, like, if they're what type of constitution they have, unless they're forcing themselves. Usually that's not common. They will be hopefully being themselves when they walk in.
Mm-hmm.
So if they walk a little crooked, obviously we know something. Then we'll ask certain things from our visual diagnosis first,
right.
and then ask them inquiry from, you know, their own subjective understanding of their own issues. Or if, like, oh, my doctor tell me this and that. That usually is not a good indication. I need to know from them what they feel instead of somebody else telling them how they felt.
Right, right. So I'm also thinking, you know, as a therapist,
mm-hmm.
when I was working full-time in my field, you know, the amount of speech, if it's real slow,
mm-hmm.
If they keep their head down, if they
right.
avoid eye contact,
mm-hmm.
You know, are their hands shaking? I mean, I'm sure you look at all of those kind of things.
Right. So, I mean, after they sit, their posture, when they're
mm-hmm.
laying down, and then a lot, sometimes when people lay down, they're not even straight, and then they're not even noticing that. So, you know, there's
right.
a problem, there's a tension somewhere in the body.
Right.
You know, for acupressure, we palpate the channels. Same thing with acupuncture, we just look for the points and open them. Like, every point is like a key lock to
mm-hmm.
unlock what the energy flow of the
so
body.
So where do you actually start? You know, let's say that the person now has filled out the information. You kind of have a little bit of an idea what's going
mm-hmm.
on. And they're laying on like a table. Okay, so is it like a massage table for acupuncture?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are they on their stomach or on their back when you start?
They are usually facing up.
Okay.
So they're on their back. Well, now, especially with COVID, like, facing down with a mask on is really uncomfortable.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, so the great things about acupuncture is, like, there's so many points that's interchangeable and have similar functions that they don't have to be accessed in the back,
mm-hmm.
Like, I guess 95% of the time.
Okay.
There's a certain point you can replace,
mm-hmm.
and in that case, then, obviously, if it's needed, then they need to be on... They need to be facing down, but most of the points can be substituted. In Chinese, you know, whatever's in the front, there's something in the back for it. Something on the top, there's something in the bottom for it. The arms can be substituted for the leg. The leg could be substituted for the arm. The head could be substituted for the toes. And the toe can, you know, it's vice versa. It's
right.
very flexible in the points as in what works better and what could work. And if somebody is limited in certain area, like even like amputations, obviously you can't be, oh, I can't needle you because there's something's
right.
missing. No,
right.
like there,
exactly.
energy flows regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So any connection can be reached through other points.
I think you told me on the show that you were with me before something about the big toe. What was it that the big toe?
Big toes for the liver,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the spleen.
But it communicates love or something like that, doesn't it?
Love is different. I think that we might have talked about impotence or something where
no,
you
no,
get
it was something
to
with a big toe. There was a connection.
Something with a big toe.
The big toe and the heart? Or is it the mind big toe connection?
Well, the toes all connect to the tip of the foot always connected to the other tip, which is your top, the head.
The head, right.
So yeah, or it could be reversed to the genital areas. So that's the micro correspondence of the points. So no, even like for emergency, you can do that. For love, the arms probably a little bit more connected to the arm, to love, like the pinkies. Like pinkies connected to the small intestine and the heart. And the middle finger actually connect to the pericardium. So, you know, in Chinese medicine, and somebody's having a stroke or some kind of emergency, they will probably try to puncture all the points on the fingertips and toe tips to open the channel to revive somebody. You know, back then when there's no emergency, there's no ambulance, or before the ambulance get there, the Chinese doctor would try to like tell the patient's family, if they're not already there, to puncture these points.
And they would know how to do it?
And let blood out. Well, the easiest way is grab all the fingers together, you know, and get a needle. Everybody should have a needle at home, like sewing needle. And obviously, like, you know, run it through fire a little bit, try to sanitize it, and then poke through the tip of the fingers.
Wow, that's going to make people's fingers sore.
Well, they are like having a stroke.
Yeah.
So this is more like
more
reviving
important.
Them is more
right.
important than
right.
having their brain dead. You
right.
know, squeeze up some blood to move that circulation real fast.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So the person, let's say, has a fear of needles.
Mm-hmm.
And you determine that, okay, they're not going to be a good candidate for acupuncture. What's the next option?
Acupressure.
Okay,
you know,
how's that done?
That's the next thing. Acupressure, well, according to their symptoms, like you just gave me somebody who had headache or shoulder pain or
mm-hmm.
neck pain or low back pain. Well, that could be anywhere in the body. Like I said, there's so many points to be assessed. So say headache, for example. Then in Chinese medicine, we'll ask, okay, do you have frontal headache, you know, the forehead, or is the side, the temple,
mm-hmm.
like migraines, or is it in the back of the head, you know, or is the top of the head? How do you feel the headache? Is it like hollow? Is it heavy? So, and from that, the answer to go to the appropriate channels. Say if the person is having frontal headache, that means it's the channels related is the stomach and large intestine.
So where would you go?
So we'll go to the large intestine and stomach channel.
Okay, but where would those be? Are
like,
they literally where the stomach is in the large intestine?
Oh, no. The channel is just the pathway of the energy. So they are connected to the internal organ, but they're not just they're not on the organ. So we don't need all the organs.
Okay.
Say the most common points for the headache, like for a large intestine, is right between the thumb and the index finger.
And that fleshy area.
That fleshy
there.
Area
yeah.
when you press, that's like really tender.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is like one of the major points for a lot of things, from cramps to headaches to sinus to allergies, you know, to all type of pain.
So people actually, if they knew that, they might be able to administer some help to themselves.
Definitely.
Just by pushing on it.
Right. I don't know if you've seen in the pharmacy, they had a little bracelet for nausea, and they have another bracelet for menstrual cramps. Well, you know what? They just placing the bracelet on different area of the acupuncture points to have different effects. Like the one in for nausea of vomiting for people for motion sickness.
If they're gonna go on a cruise or something.
Yeah, right. It's
okay.
Actually on their arm,
mm-hmm.
but then they use the exact same device with a different name. For menstrual cramp when they put it on the foot, like the leg.
Wow, okay, so
there's
a little like a nubby thing
yeah,
that pushes
like something
on
pointy
it.
But
mm-hmm.
not sharp,
mm-hmm.
Definitely something to help administrate that, like acupressure you could do on yourself. Obviously, when you're in pain, you don't want to cause more discomfort or actually want to, you know, put any more ounce of energy into healing yourself unless you're really determined. You know, like when I'm sick, I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to lay there or have somebody help me. You know, I'm not going to like literally do something
yeah.
myself because I'm like sort of miserable and suffering.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen charts that, you know, are available to people on reflexology. And, you know, the foot has
right.
all of the organs on it. So,
yes.
I mean, is that an area too that if you were doing acupressure,
mm-hmm.
Then understanding those areas of the foot where you could put pressure and make a difference.
Yes. Well, the same correspondence, like how we can needle the foot for the head and the head for the foot,
mm-hmm.
Whatever's in the bottom of your soul can be reflected in your year. That's why how we have year acupuncture. That can be reflected in your abdomen. That's why we have abdomen acupuncture. And then it can reflect in your palm. Mm-hmm. That also reflects everything. And then, you know, how people do face readings. You know, so, okay, this year you got to be careful of this and that. And what age something is going to happen. Well, they're reading your face. The exact same thing. Like, everywhere has signs and leave marks of, you know, what's happened in the past. From your face, from your scalp, from your ear, from your, some people look at the foot, right?
Wow.
And your palm, like your palm reading, mm-hmm. that's very common. But instead of reading that, we use that to treat. You know, somebody's palm looks fairly, we're going to call it pale green. You know, this person has a lot of internal coldness, meaning this person could have diarrhea, could have cramps, you know, coldness, constrict. So that's a lot of things that we can help with diagnose besides what patient tells us subjectively. Mm-hmm. And we kind of like try to weed out if they're, you know, if they're really telling, if they're really, if what they're saying is accurate by comparing when we're pressing on the point mm-hmm. to confirm there actually is a diagnose and confirm / treatment when we felt palpate the channels.
Now, if you're palpating a channel mm-hmm. and, you know, somebody has verbally said, well, I'm having trouble with this, this, or this, mm-hmm. then they're going to feel what, tenderness
they're
when you're palpating?
Feel extra tenderness mm-hmm. compared to the rest of the channels.
So you'd know which right. ones are the right. culprit, so to speak.
Right. So when we palpate the channel, we kind of know, oh, okay, this is really, you know, it matches what you're saying. So you're mm-hmm. not making it up.
Right.
And we're not making it up because, right. you know, that's exactly where it hurts.
Okay. You know. Let's say, because again, we talked about this a little bit prior to the recording. Let's say that somebody has been seeing you for, I don't know, maybe a couple months. And the issue still has not been resolved. So in your mind, it's kind of saying, okay, there's more to this story. It's not maybe a structural issue mm-hmm. or something like that, but it might be a deeper belief system. Mm-hmm. Is that when you offer them the technique that is referred to as access bars?
That is definitely something that I would go into. If somebody is like... if something is relenting, like relentlessly not letting go, obviously there's a reason, mm-hmm. you know, whether the person is not willing to let go of certain beliefs in the past that caused this structural issue in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So access bar is something that we could attempt to help them to change their mind and open up to more possibility and even just accept the healing process. You know, a lot of time could be self-judgment, could be, you know, something that you're criticizing yourself of and mm-hmm. punishing yourself.
Right.
So yeah, like energy work, it's beyond what we can see and identify unless we can see energy, and that's a way to help change somebody energetically, because anything that happened to us physically first will happen on the energetic level before it settles down.
Right.
You know, there's a story in the Chinese, an ancient story that a Chinese doctor who could see energy and told this gentleman on the street that he knew, he said, okay, you need to take this herbal medicine right now. And otherwise something, you know, your it's affecting your gallbladder and liver. And then obviously there's no symptom. It's asymptomatic to the gentleman and the young man. And he's like, well, no, there's nothing wrong with me. So he moved on with his life. You know, a week later, he saw this gentleman again. It was like repeating the same formula. And he still refused. A month later, he's saying, I'm not kidding you. This is like, obviously he's seeing probably it's forming, settling down a little more into his physical body. And the gentleman is like, no, it's okay. And like, I'm still like, he probably felt like a little here and there, but he just ignored him again. So like fast forward a year later, the young man saw this doctor. He's like, oh my God, doctor, help me. Like, I feel so bad right now. And the doctor's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore because already it's into the bones. You know, like things settles from the very superficial area and then move down to deeper and deeper. And when we realize something, probably not to the extent with this young man, it's been so long, you know, that we actually will take care of it sooner. But when we do realize something, it's actually already formed. Mm-hmm. You know, energetically, if we change things, it will also change the physical over time.
Right, right. Well, that's why, I mean, even with COVID-19, but certainly that's true across the board with doctors, is you can have a lot of pre-existing conditions and be clueless about them until something happens. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be a routine, you know, physical that all of a sudden, boom, you know, there's something that's a little off and they start digging and they realize this is serious. So I think people probably don't go in for physicals all that often. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a traditional, regular thing that the majority of people do. They wait until there is a symptom that they don't like.
Right.
And the symptom might be pain, it might be fever, it might be, you know, something else. But I remember my dad was diagnosed years ago. He's deceased now, but when he was in his late 80s, he was always healthy. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, his eyes, the whites of his eyes, had started to yellow. Mm-hmm. And he had no real symptoms other than that. And it turned out that he had cancer in his liver.
Right. Yeah, that's this very, I'm trying to relate it to Chinese medicine. That's the first thing I thought of when I see somebody with yellow eyes is jaundice. Mm-hmm. And jaundice is controlled by liver. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, if I see somebody with really yellow eyes, I will probably ask them, have you slept well? You know, have you taking a lot of medication? Because you probably need a detox. When the liver shut down is whether it's overwork, overloaded, you know, not getting enough rest, not getting, you know, because our body do heal itself if you allow, give it time to heal itself.
Well, and a lot of people as they age have more trouble sleeping. Right. I would say that young people under the age of probably 30 don't have that issue. They can't wait for the weekend so they can sleep until noon.
Right.
But I think over the age of probably 50, maybe, certainly by the time they hit 60, it's hard for a lot of people to sleep. Yeah. And, you know, that is when the body does repair itself. So if it's not getting sufficient sleep, there certainly are a lot of pharmaceuticals out there, but there's natural ways. Right. And what would you do acupuncture or acupressure-wise to help somebody sleep better?
Well, depends on what's the cause of them from the insomnia. Sometimes it's from lack of... And I'm going to use some Chinese medical term, is more lack of blood, meaning doesn't mean that you're anemic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that your blood is not providing to all the area that's needed.
So it's circulation.
Circulation in a way. And or lack of qi, which is energy.
Energy.
Yeah, so energy is not sufficient enough, so it's like used up before it can get to the brain and let you rest for a night. And I usually want to recommend the easiest way for people, you know, to what is the cause. Like if it's anxiety, you know, then you gotta do something about anxiety. Mm-hmm. If it's stress, then you gotta do something about what is causing your stress. You know, if it's nutrition, I'm not gonna say nutrition is by overeating, like somebody who eat too late, that in Chinese medicine can cause insomnia as well, because you're obviously your body is still digesting, it's trying to digest, and you try to fall asleep, well, it's not done its work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really go to sleep that
quickly. What is the rule of thumb? Like nothing after 7 o'clock or something?
Well, it depends on what time you go to bed.
Yeah, but I mean, if you went to bed at, say, 11.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, 4 hours.
4 hours.
At least 4 hours. And even drinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a guarantee if you drink right before bed, you'll definitely have to get up to use the bathroom once or twice before you want to get up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too. So now we have the person that, you know, says, I really need to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to offer them this access bars as an option.
Right.
And these are individuals who have reached a point where they're emotional and or physical pain is such that they go, I have to do something.
Right.
So how do you introduce them to something like access bars?
I will first ask them if they're open to something new. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a patient who comes in and is like, I had it all my life, whatever it is. Like, whatever you can help me with after the diagnosis without even telling me what's wrong with them, like, mm-hmm. before they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, then we'll assess, like, where are you in your life? Obviously, a lot of things have to deal with thoughts. You know, our thought, the way that our brain runs the show, the stories we run in our brain. And if that's stuck somewhere, obviously, we're not going to change. I will offer them, hey, try it out and then see how you feel, and if you like it, obviously we can continue, because before anybody try anything, we can't really tell them what's gonna happen with acupuncture or acupressure or any type of energy, any kind of forms of energy work. Some people feel super relaxed afterwards, some people feel like, you know, energized.
But is it a little bit like if you're asking some questions using that method,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they get an aha moment where they go, oh, I can see the connection between this thought and this condition?
Sometimes if they're if they're willing to be open and willing to change, they usually could get some insights from themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, just by through conversations. You know, like, say somebody came in like, you know, I lost my job, or I went through a typhoon, you know, something happened, there's a flood, I got fired, you know, I had a fight with my parents, and something lingered, they already forgot what happened, but then that thought carried through their entire life, the rest of their life, with them until they're willing to do something about it.
So, again, it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same by any stretch, but there are similarities between what you're talking about and, you know, traditional therapy that I've done with people. So when you connect the dots for them,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to go, you know what, I've always worn my heart on my sleeve, as an example,
mm-hmm.
and people take advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my life is never very happy because I'm always being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then they have to, maybe they've internalized that into, I don't know, like gastrointestinal issues, or, you know, high blood pressure, or something that has to do with either the heart,
mm-hmm.
chakra, or the solar plexus, you know, one of those two areas, I would
right.
think. And so for them, the aha moment might be, oh my gosh, you know, I can change this. If I change the way my thoughts are,
mm-hmm.
then my physical condition may mm-hmm. also change.
Right, because the thought is energy as well. If you
right.
change your energy in any way, through yourself, through your self-realization,
mm-hmm.
like, I no longer need to hold on to this,
right?
Then you can change your story instantly, or starting from there is a new chapter, and move forward from there instead of falling back. Well, sometimes we still fall back, like, oh, I still remember this and that, but then, you know, as you remind yourself, oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm no longer in that story, then
right.
obviously you can get out of it a little faster.
Right.
You know, in Chinese medicine, it's really funny, like you mentioned the gut and the heart. Well, any thought that has not been digested, processed,
mm-hmm.
is actually going to end up in the gut. So any kind of gut issue, GI system, in the digestive system, is going to be unresolved thoughts. If
mm-hmm.
you think of something, you haven't processed them, you know, it's going to hang there. Any thought that has not been emotional thought? Okay, any emotion that has not been churned, digested, is going to
uh-huh.
be in the gut. Any thought that's not been processed, like you thought about something, but you just wait and you hold on to it, but then you didn't resolve it, it's going to be in the head.
Right.
So another time, headache could be caused from these thoughts too, you know, especially when somebody go through a lot of stress, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of thing in their mind,
mm-hmm.
and these can manifest as headache as well.
I would think one of the issues that you may run into, especially with people that are, say, middle-aged, a parent dies, and they maybe had unresolved issues with that parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that part that you were talking about is not been processed
mm-hmm.
by the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's lingering between the gut and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That it's interesting how maybe even heartburn mm-hmm. could be a direct result mm-hmm. of emotions that have not been processed. And then if you have, you know, like I said, a sibling issue, mm-hmm. a parent maybe who dies, mm-hmm. but something that you can't go back and fix mm-hmm. because they're not there to fix it with, this process would allow them to fix it because they could mm-hmm. begin to change whatever that thought was mm-hmm. and let it go.
Yes, unlock the energy that is locked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not willing to process it themselves, you know, and like you said, if it's parents who died, you might even have to deal with grief. So grief has to deal with the lungs. Mm-hmm. So they might even have asthma. A lot of people develop asthma or coughing or harder breathe just from the grieving.
Well, that's interesting. I had not heard that one before. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool that that works. You mentioned somebody else that I kind of wanted to have you mention, you know, on the show too, because I had not heard of him. I guess Brian, Byron, Katie.
Yeah, Byron, Katie. She mm-hmm. is just a lady. Katie is she has a very interesting story. I don't know her personally, but mm-hmm. I study a lot of her works, and she has a lot of free YouTube. I guess program from mm-hmm. her own.
Mm-hmm.
She promotes something like she calls The Work, and then you can go to thework.org
okay.
to find more information about it.
So it's our work.org.
Yeah, The Work, like the lessons, work.
Okay.
like homework.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, it is literally our own lessons, our work,
mm-hmm.
Things that we want to work through in our life. That we held on to for yesterday, just 10 minutes ago, or mm-hmm. the entire lifetime.
Okay.
So she has something called Judge Your Neighbor Worksheet, and you just filled it out, and you need to be fairly open to any kind of energy work or even kind of mind thinking thoughts process. We definitely need to be open to something. Like, you know, Einstein has that old saying, paraphrasing, that if you do the same thing and expect that something to change is called insanity.
Right.
Right. So if we want to change, we definitely have to change in some mm-hmm. way, mm-hmm. whether energetically, whether physically, you know, or mentally,
right,
spiritually, psychologically.
Well, just even the minutest amount of change.
Right. Even diets.
Shifts everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Even diets, like just mm-hmm. change your routine.
Mm-hmm.
That could shift, because that's all, everything we do is just, is a part of a, you know, greater energy. And if we shift one way, you know, then everything else shift with it.
Right, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
So Byron Katie, she has this four simple questions that we use.
Uh-huh.
Is it true? Is it really true? You know, when you have this thought, well, this is obviously dealing with thoughts that we have about judging other people. That's why it's called Judging Your Neighbor Worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about judgment, judging other people, judging yourself. And she did, she does ask you to judge yourself last.
Right.
So when
right.
you judge other people first and you kind of see the pattern, when you judge yourself, it's not going to be as harsh.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And the third question will be, who will you be? You know, what do you experience when you are in that thought? So these four questions evolve, is a meditative process.
Mm-hmm.
So after we ask the first question, first we have a judgment, say, oh, I don't like my dog when it does that. That could be a judgment,
right?
Right? Like it pees
right.
on the carpet. And like, I don't like my dog when it pees the carpet. So your statement could be, my dog should not pee on the carpet. Then you ask if it's true. Obviously it's true. You know, I'm seeing it peeing on the carpet. It is true. Second, is absolutely true. At this point, you want to close your eyes. You want to go back to the same scenario where your dog is peeing on the carpet and saying the dog should not pee on the carpet. Is it true? Well, some of us might come to our senses. Well, dog is a dog. Is it really not going to pee on the carpet? Has it been properly trained or all that?
Right.
All that.
Right.
Well, we're not using our logic. We're asking a question and we are allowing it to show up visually. Or in just a knowing or sensing to help us understand the truth. Like these thoughts are the cause of our suffering. So the third question is to experience that, what we just did, Like, how do you feel when, or how do you treat the dog? How do you treat yourself when the dog did this, when you had this thought?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you're going to come to your conclusion how you feel, like locating the pain or stress, or, you know, how you treat the dog. Like, do you yell at it? Do you like hit it? Or, you know, beat it up and beat yourself up as well, like mentally, verbally. And why did I have the dog? And then lastly, like, if you can't have this thought, who would you be? You know, like, if you didn't have the thought this dog is peeing on the carpet, like, it should not pee on the carpet or pee somewhere else. You know, depends on where do you judging? How do you judge? If you cannot have this thought and meditate again, like, without this thought back into the same scenario, who would you be? How do you treat yourself? How do you treat the dog?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, like, what changed? And you there, in there, you find your own freedom.
Right.
She usually asks, is there any reason for you to keep this story or this judgment?
Right.
And is there any reason that is not painful for you not to keep this judgment? Like, if you keep it, is it painful at any way? And is it, do you feel like letting it go?
Right. And that's the ultimate decision for a lot of these things is, are you ready to let something go? And if you are,
mm-hmm.
life changes. If you aren't, you know,
mm-hmm.
then it doesn't. So
right. So the importance of these work, you need to literally write it down
mm-hmm.
in your thought. Your thought will carry you away and do anything possible to drag you away from going back and doing the inquiry on, you know, this particular thought.
Right.
You'll just jump out and you'll never be released from it because you're still somewhere, still hanging on to it.
Right.
So the work could be even repetitive. When she did it, the work on her mom,
mm-hmm.
she did like a year or two on it.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, our show is already up for today.
Yay.
So let people know where they can find you as we come to a close here.
Okay. You can find me at www.loa, stands for Law of Attraction Acupuncture, loaacupuncture.com. And you can email me, you can go online right now because the COVID, I am working distally and doing home visits. So through the contact, I can figure out how I can assist you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you being my guest again. It's been a fun show. If you listen to the show on either Spotify or iHeartRadio, Google, and it's also on Apple iTunes. But if you want to access some of the older shows, go to synergyconnectionradio.com. And all of the shows are archived there. I believe there's 13 pages. And you can scroll through and see the different guests and, you know, read the synopsis and maybe figure out other shows that you would find interesting. Lily's older show is there. And certainly I'm sure that a lot of you would enjoy listening to her first show with me. So go out there and make it your best life. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.